Student debt levels seem to hit crisis proportions this year, with reports of student debt exceeding the national credit card debt and totaling over $1 trillion. Stories of individual students burdened by loans they can't repay or financially crippled by the burden of debt repayment fill the media. One of the more innovative approaches to handling the high cost of education has been developed by SoFi, an organization dedicated to, quote, transforming the student loan industry by connecting student and graduate borrowers with alumni investors economically and socially, close quote. And today on Admission Straight Talk, Daniel Macklin, co-founder and VP of Business Development for SoFi, is our guest, and we're going to learn much more about this educational financing alternative. Welcome to Admission Straight Talk, Accepted.com's podcast about graduate admissions. I'm Linda Abraham, the founder of Accepted and the host of this podcast. Thank you for joining Dan and me for this segment. Dan currently leads business development and university relations for SoFi. Before co-founding SoFi, Dan led medium enterprise sales and product development for Standard Chartered Bank in China and Northeast Asia. Dan holds a BA in business economics from the University of Durham in England. He also holds an MS in management degree from Stanford Graduate School of Business, where he was a Sloan Fellow. Before we really dive into SoFi and its promise, I would like to remind you that we value your feedback, especially any five-star reviews that you may just want to leave for Admission Straight Talk in iTunes. And even if you don't have five-star reviews, please do provide your thoughts either on iTunes or blog or by sending an email to labraham@accepted.com. Okay, let's get started. Dan, welcome to Admission Straight Talk. It's a pleasure to speak with you today.
Hi, Linda. Thanks for the opportunity.
You're very welcome. I noticed that SoFi started in fall 2011. According to Bloomberg, it has so far originated about $130 million in loans and plans to originate $1 to $1.5 billion in 2013. And that's an extraordinarily impressive growth rate. Now, can you give us a little, that was context. Can you give us a bit of background? How did you come to co-found SoFi?
Sure, and thanks again for the opportunity. I was, as you mentioned, at the Stanford Graduate School of Business. I was on the Sloan program there, mm-hmm. which is a full-time one-year program. And during that program, I got together with a couple of my classmates, and we had to do a project, an entrepreneurship project, and come up with an idea for a company. And we kind of dived into the student loan business really by accident, but really just because we, in talking to our classmates and to other people who were taking loans, we realized that there weren't that many options out there. And in an environment where people can borrow for mortgages at very, very cheap rates, as you can do today, it felt that the student loans that were out there were just very expensive. So we thought that maybe there was a new way to do things, and that's kind of how SoFi got started about 2 years ago now.
The other advantage is that you're offering investors very, very good returns in a time when investors are getting very little if they're investing their money.
Exactly right. So the model, just to make it clear, we're a little bit different to most other student loan providers. So we take money in the form of investment from alumni of a school or a university, and then we put those funds together into a fund for that university. And then we lend that out to student borrowers or recent graduates who may be refinancing their debt. So that's how we provide the funds. And we're able to give a very, very competitive rate to the borrower that is lower than most of the other rates that is out there.
Well, you anticipated my next question, which was going to be what makes SoFi different from other student loan originators. But now, so when somebody in the money that's put into these funds by investors, are investors lending money to individual students, or are they putting the money into a pool for a given school? And is it limited to business schools at this point, or is it any graduate program? Is it any graduate and undergraduate program?
Sure. They're putting it into a pool. At the moment, we're in about 78 schools. It's a combination of graduate schools, which typically is mostly MBA programs, mm-hmm. as well as some undergraduate programs as well.
Really?
Our intention is to expand much more broadly beyond where we are now. We're in 78 now. This year now we're in 2013. I would expect that number to go up. But we're starting at 78, and we'll go from there.
May I ask what are some of those schools?
You mean the schools that we're in now? So mm-hmm. So there are some schools like Stanford, where we started, and then Harvard, MIT, UC Berkeley, NYU, Columbia. So kind of all over the country.
That's
public,
great.
Private, all sorts.
Can you touch on some of the social aspects of SoFi? Because that's
sure.
You know, completely different.
Sure. So as well as getting a very good rate as a borrower, the other advantage that our borrowers have is that they have access to the alumni community that's funding them. And the way that can be useful is if, say, you're a student and you're coming up to graduation and you haven't yet found yourself a job because it's a pretty tough job market out there, you have the ability to reach out to the alumni community who has funded your loan and the other loans from your school and interact with those individuals. So you could, for example, if you're interested in getting into the healthcare industry, you could look and see from the alumni who have funded your loans that there are two or three people there who are in that healthcare industry. You can reach out to them and, you know, ask for help, connections, just a coffee or a chat to learn a bit more about the industry. And the reason why we think that the alumni will respond positively to that or you know, return your call or your email is that they have an investment in you as a borrower.
Yeah.
So
sure.
It's in their interest to help you along the way to get a job and then ultimately to repay the loan. So we've seen early examples of that. We launched at Stanford in 2011, where we came from, and we've seen some early instances of that, and we expect to see that a lot more in 2013, now that we're at so many more schools.
That's fascinating. And if somebody doesn't pay, if an applicant defaults, is that also known to the community?
So it's not known explicitly. There are various rules and regulations that we have to abide by, but uh-huh. We very much kind of take the carrot approach rather than the stick approach. So
sure.
If someone is getting into financial difficulty, they suspect that they may have problems repaying their loans, we encourage them to reach out to us at an early stage so that we have time then to help them and to put them in touch with their alumni community, as opposed to waiting until it's too late.
Right.
So wherever possible, we'll be as proactive as we can. And in addition to the alumni community who are funding your loans, SoFi itself also has, at the moment, about 60 members of staff who have links into, you know, many industries and companies. So as a company, our employees will also assist where possible.
And if I'm a UCLA alum, now if I want to invest in the MIT or the Stanford Fund, or if MIT wants to invest in Stanford or whatever it is that possible, or do you only invest in your own school's fund?
It is possible. We encourage wherever possible for people to invest in the fund of which they're an alum of.
Mm-hmm.
But it is possible to invest more broadly than that. The key minimum that we have is that we want to have some alumni of each school invested in that fund, a kind of minimum number. But over and above that, we can add to that from other sources.
That's fascinating, absolutely fascinating. And so you are actually helping the borrowers if they are struggling. You will try to help them find a loan or whatever, because I guess both the alumni and you as an organization are somewhat invested in them. So that's part of the program, isn't it?
Exactly right. So we're only 18 months old, so most of our loans are roughly 6 months old. So as of now, we haven't had anybody defaulting, and we hope to continue that. But inevitably, as we grow our customer base and our borrower base, some people will probably get into some difficulties. But when that time comes, then we'll put the whole SoFi machine behind them and see if we can help them as much as we can.
And SoFi is limited to U.S. citizens and permanent residents at the moment?
At the moment it is. As you can probably detect from my accent, I'm not from here originally. I am from the U.K., so
uh-huh.
It's very much in our vision as a company, and certainly my own vision, that we extend this beyond that to include mm-hmm. international students as well. But that may be later on this year sometime. At the moment, it is limited to U.S. residents and U.S. citizens.
How does a student or applicant or a recent graduate who wants to refi, how does a student apply for a SoFi loan or for a SoFi refi?
So we take applications through our website, SoFi.com. If you visit the website, there's two broad categories of borrower, as you mentioned there. If you're currently at school, then you can take the student loan there. Or if you've recently graduated but you still have some debt, then we can refinance that loan. And the application form is very quick and simple online. I think it takes about 10 minutes to fill out. Then there are certain documents that we may need to get from you to prove, you know, you are who you say you are, but it's very quick and simple. And what I should say is that if you're at school, we distribute loans through your financial aid office in the same way that any other private lender would do. And there's a lot of safety in that money goes through the school rather than into the hands or the pockets of the borrower directly. And that just has a lot of efficiencies associated to it.
And are the schools supportive of your efforts?
Yes, they are. So we are in close consultation with all the school financial aid offices because, as I mentioned, when we disperse loans to current students, we do it through those financial aid offices. So we work very closely with them to make sure that process is as seamless as possible. So we use all the different systems that they use to make sure that process is smooth and simple for everyone.
And alumni associations, are you working with them?
We're starting to. So the first 12 months really was focused really on getting our lending operations up to speed, and we've pretty much done that. Like you mentioned, we've lent over $100 million.
That's absolutely amazing. Basically, from zero to $100 million in a little over a year.
Yeah, it was $2 million for our pilot program at Stanford in 2011, and then 2012 was just over $100 million. So it's good growth, and we're hoping for more of the same in 2013.
Well, that would be like 1,000 times growth practically each year. So I think it's pretty good growth. How about... You touched on this a minute ago. Where do you see SoFi going in the future? Other programs, you know, all graduate programs, medical school, law school, undergraduate, specialized masters, any kind of professional program. I suspect that you're probably going to avoid humanities and those kinds of programs.
I think all of the above, really. I mean, the industry is huge. There's over $100 billion being lent every year, and much of that is at rates that from the government at 6.8% or 7.9%, sometimes with a 4% fee. So it's pretty expensive, and we lend at rates cheaper than that.
You charge upfront fees?
We don't charge origination fees, no. So our rates vary depending on exactly who you are, but generally speaking, if you're in school, it varies between 5.99% fixed rate to 6.49%. And if you're out of school and you're refinancing, it would be between 5.99 and 6.24. So compared to a 7.9% rate with a 4% fee, there's quite a saving there.
Oh, sure. And when you make your loans to students, are you looking at their credit rating? Are you looking at their professional ambitions? I mean, how do they qualify?
We do a number of things. I mean, we do credit underwriting in the same way that any private lender would do. So we do look at your credit score. We do look at your credit history. But there are a number of things that we take into account, not just those things. So much of it is the fact that you are studying at a good school and a school that we have some kind of relationship with. So there are many factors, but it's the application process is very quick and simple, and we give feedback to people who don't get through that for whatever reason. Not that there are that many of them.
Okay, it doesn't sound like it. And you are planning to expand abroad, obviously to the UK. Are you planning to go to? Are you looking into Asia at all? Which is certainly a major exporter of students, both the United States and Europe?
Sure. I think we have big ambitions. For the time being, we're concentrating on the U.S. As I mentioned, it's $100 billion originated in loans every year, so it's huge, and we're only a very small number, a very small part of that at the moment.
Yeah.
So I think we'll expand in the U.S. For a while, but definitely we have We have ambitions in to expand overseas, particularly for overseas students coming to the U.S. to study. I think we have some good ideas there.
Okay, great. Do you have any financial advice for students preparing to apply, either preparing to start in fall 2013 or perhaps, preparing to start in their studies in fall 2013 or preparing to apply in fall 2013 to matriculate in 2014?
Sure. I think it's a pretty complicated arena or industry, so I think you have to do a lot of research. And coming into this industry, I didn't know too much about it, and I've learned a little bit over the last 18 months. And I think there's no substitute really for putting in some research and just looking into the cheapest financing options you can find. But before you even do that, just using as many scholarships and grants and free money as you can. There's a lot of schools out there, and if, particularly if you're a good student, then you should be able to command some good assistance there. So making the most of that, just exploring every avenue that you can, and then once you've used everything that you have and you have to borrow something, making sure you're borrowing at the cheapest rate and the best rate possible, and not just taking the first loan that's put into your hand. That would be my general advice.
Okay. Do you feel it's prudent for soon-to-be students to try perhaps and cut back on expenses, reduce their credit card debt, perhaps save some money, anything like that?
Definitely. And we have a something on our website called Know Before You Owe, and that really looks at how much you think you're going to borrow and how much you think you're going to earn, and then really gives you a pretty good snapshot of whether that's a good mixture. And I think undoubtedly people have to take some sacrifices. If you're spending $100,000 on a degree or whatever the amount is, then maybe you have to cut back on a few other areas. And it's painful at the time, and you know, it may mean going without your daily Starbucks or whatever it is, but I think that you have to do those things, or it's prudent to do those things to reduce your debt as much as you can. If you can come out with as little debt as possible, then that will set you up for much better for after you graduate.
I completely agree. Now, I just wanted, before we close, I do think we have a few minutes, and I believe the Sloan Fellows programs are true gems out there in the MBA world. And you are a Sloan Fellow. I wonder if you can tell us a little bit about your experience in the Stanford Sloan Fellows program. How did you happen to choose it?
Sure. It's pretty, not too many people know about it, but it's a one-year full-time program. Stanford Business School has one, MIT has one, and the London Business School have one as well. Mm-hmm. And really, the similarity between the three is that all three of them are aimed at people who are slightly older than the average MBA candidate. So the average age in my class, and it was a small class, relatively small, of 56 people, the average age was around mid-30s, with around an average of 12 years of experience, so a few more gray hairs than the average MBA candidate. Mm-hmm. But the experience is very similar. It's 1 year compared to the normal 2 years, but we were in classes with the MBA students and interacting with the same professors and taking the same courses. So it's just a different option, I think, for someone with a few more years of experience under their belt, and something that I would recommend anyone who maybe has done a few more years experience than the average MBA program would normally accept.
And how did you happen to choose that over, let's say, an EMBA?
It was a personal choice. I personally didn't think that I could cope really with doing a full-time job, and my job was pretty busy, and then trying to do classes at evenings and weekends. And I have a family as well, so I thought the combination of the three things would be too difficult for me to manage for an extended period. So I made the decision to take a year out of work and to throw myself in, 100% into this, which I think is right for some people and not right for other people. But it is an option, and I think it's a good option that people should think about.
Did the program meet your expectations? Are you glad you did it?
Yeah, completely. I came to this is the first time I'd lived in the U.S., and I had no prior experience really of the whole entrepreneurship and venture capital industry, and really I came to open my eyes to that, and especially at Stanford, it's right in the heart of that, so I, I really got exposed to it. I met a lot of people who started companies, and it gave me that confidence to do that. And ultimately, Yeah, and I met my fellow co-founders in the class. So if I hadn't gone to Stanford, I wouldn't have started SoFi. So yeah, it was a great thing.
Wonderful. I think our podcast is just about over. Dan, how can people learn more about SoFi and your work?
SoFi.com is the website. It's pretty easy to use, but we welcome feedback. We're still a new company, so if people have feedback on how to use it, they should get in touch with us. Our contact details are on the website. But yeah, we take applications all year round. We take refinancing applications all year round. So if people want to learn more, that's the place to go.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I really do find the whole SoFi idea and tremendously exciting and innovative. So I really appreciate you joining me here today and sharing SoFi's fascinating story. Listeners, thank you, too, for joining us. This is Admission Straight Talk, produced by Exhibit.com, and I am your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again in 2 weeks.
Our theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.